Q1 was a great year, a great quarter for us. We demonstrated that we're producing a lot of gold. We produced about 30% more gold than guidance, and then a lower all-in sustaining cost than guidance, which was $1,625, and we came in at $1,374.
Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse, how was that, buddy?
It was good, Andy. Good to see you again.
It's really good to see you. Contango ore, full disclosure, I am a shareholder, a very, very happy shareholder. I've also traded in and out, mostly in. I don't think I've ever been out since we've met, to be candid with you, but I've loaded up on this dip. Let's start with, well, actually, your stock has been screaming recently, and it's just makes me happy for the company, for you, for with all the work you've been doing, and also all the shareholders, because it's a great story coming from one Alaskan to another. But let's start with what's going on. Why did it scream up? I know you guys have had a great quarter. I listened and read the quarterly earnings report. Is that what it is? Just tell me about all of that the last quarter. What's going on?
Yeah, Andy, so I think it's about making money, to be sort of, put it in perspective. Q1 was a great year, a great quarter for us. We demonstrated that we're producing a lot of gold. We produced about 30% more gold than guidance, and then a lower all-in sustaining cost than guidance, which was $1,625, and we came in at $1,374.
Congratulations.
Our joint venture partner is Kinross, and look, Kinross is a senior producer. They're going to be very careful with. They're going to meet guidance, and they're going to exceed guidance, and for no other reason than everybody that works at Kinross wants their bonus at the end of the year. So, I won't say that they sandbag, their guidance, but they're going to be conservative, and that's a good thing for us because. If we tell the worst thing we can do as a junior company, especially, is overpromise and underdeliver. And if we're doing the opposite and we say, look, we're going to be prudent on our guidance, this is what we're getting from Kinross, and they're the operator and manager, so we really can't say anything different, frankly. But if we can exceed that quarter to quarter, then I think the market can always be surprised to the upside. And I think that, frankly, is the case. Our guidance at the end of the year was, with the bridge weight restrictions and all those things, had weighted down on the stock pretty significantly. And I think we're seeing that, look, we fixed some of the reductions in the capacity, half capacity of the truck. Some of those have been ameliorated. We've dealt with some moisture content, and we're knocking snow and ice off the trucks in the wintertime, and we'll wash the mud off in the summertime, and that gains another, 2 tons. I mean, it's amazing how much mud and snow and ice weighs, but these are big vehicles. And so, there is a fair bit of mud, snow and ice that does accumulate. So, I think the restrictions had reduced our effective capacity to about 42 short tons per truckload from the designed 50. And we've made up probably 45 to 46, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, that's why we're, exceeding guidance. And obviously, it's a double-edged sword when you're hauling more ore, and that's a fixed cost to run the truck. So when you're hauling more ore, it costs you less per ounce to produce it. So, it's been a great quarter. We're making good cash flow. We're continuing to whittle down the debt, and I think our debt will be reduced to about somewhere between $10 million and $15 million by the end of the year. Our hedge book will be down in the 40,000 ounce range. We'll continue to expose more and more of our upside to the gold price. And we're in the middle of our second quarter production cycle here. It started in the middle of May, and we'll go to probably the middle of June. We're on schedule to continue to deliver an average of 15,000 ounces of gold every quarter. And I suspect I think we'll probably exceed that again this year, just, you know, judging from the daily reports that we're getting. So things are going well.
Excellent. Well, a little bit about that, because I know as a transporting, please correct me if I'm wrong, transporting the ore, if you would, because of snow and ice and mud during the winter and really the fall months. Again, please correct me if I'm wrong. Does anything change in the summer, meaning you don't have those issues, or they're less of a factor here going into the summer months?
Yeah, certainly the winter months are the most difficult to operate in. You know, it's Alaska. It's
Fairbanks, Alaska.
It's cold. Knows it, right? And on there, roads get icy. And we have, I think we have five or six days built into the schedule that we just are going to assume we're not going to operate because of weather conditions. I don't think that actually happened this year. We actually had it was a cold year, winter, I mean, weather temperature wise, but we didn't have a lot of snow. And yeah, you're right. I mean, operating in the summertime is a lot easier. The stockpiles don't get frozen. If you've got moisture in a stockpile going in the fall time, and you have -20, -30 degree weather, which is not uncommon. At those temperatures, it doesn't matter whether it's centigrade or Fahrenheit, it's freaking cold.
It's cold.
And the stockpile freezes. So, those are all things you don't have to deal with in the summertime. So definitely it is interesting. And look, again, I talked to shareholders and say, look, last year was a startup year. It wasn't the sort of normal ramp up of a mill getting used to the ore. It was really mostly about the transportation plant. Mm-hmm. And getting mill, to the ore, or getting ore through the mill at Fort Knox. So you learn things in that first 6 months of how to operate better. And I think it's clear that Kinross is operating more effectively and efficiently as one would expect after 6 months of operation. So, Kinross is they're a big company. They have a lot of depth, and, when there are issues, they're going to figure out how to solve them. They're the 70% owner, so we're the benefactor of that knowledge and that ability to address operational issues as they come up.
Yeah. Well, if I can, may for a second, let me just address my viewers and listeners. It's what you just said is a great example of a really betting not only on a great asset and jurisdiction, but how leadership and management come into play. And that also includes, obviously, you, Rick, but also the other teams that you built around you with Kinross and so on and so forth. So super, super important. Another thing that I want to highlight, man, there was a lot of consternation or just implosion in the stock price, and we didn't really know why. And when you don't know why, as a shareholder, you want to ask questions and start figuring out why. And if it's not something that if it's just an overreaction, then those happen all the time. We can chalk it up to an overreaction, if you would. That's where crisis equals opportunity for a shareholder. So congratulations to all the shareholders in Contango that not only has been sticking with you, but also bought at these levels. And I know you showed a lot of leadership and were purchasing in the open market at this price just because of the deep value there. So fantastic. Again, let's pat everybody on the back, but let's take off that pat here on the back and let's look to the future here, because that's what it's all about in markets. What have you done for us lately? What have you done for me lately? What do you see? How are you going to grow? And again, you hit it out of the park last quarter. How are you going to hit it out of the park on a consistent quarterly basis here moving forward? What's the plan?
Yeah, and I certainly can't say we're going to produce 30% more gold in the Q2. I wish I could say that, but we're going to stick to the plan, which is to produce 60,000 ounces of gold this year and in roughly 15,000 ounces at a time. The more quarters we can get behind us and exceed that by, 10% or more, it'd be great. And I'm also staying, very focused on our all-in sustaining costs. And I'll just point out that our base assumptions, in terms of, one of the big cost components is fuel. And, fuel is one of the biggest components of any mining operation. And especially in ours, since we're transporting the ore, 240 miles between the mine and the mill site at Fort Knox. Our working assumption was based on $100 barrel oil. And today we're seeing 61, I think I saw when I last looked at the oil price. So, and obviously, we're not buying a barrel of oil, we're buying diesel, but it's the translation of that price. So my point is that a very major component of our operating cost is much, much lower than our feasibility level assumptions. So I think that's definitely one area why we're seeing, rather than the 1625 that was guided to last November, we're significantly lower than, and a portion of that has to do with the moisture content that we talked about, but another portion has to do with the fact that we're paying less for fuel than where the base case assumptions were. So, and I have to say, honestly, I don't see that changing dramatically from what I'm reading about what the Saudis and what OPEC are looking at doing. And if Iran gets into a better relationship with the U.S. and you start to see more of that oil flowing in, it's going to cause the price of oil to go up. It's going to just either maintain where it is, or obviously there's a bottom price of oil where people start to not want to produce it. But yeah, that's certainly a positive from a cost pressure standpoint for us. So I just point that out because it's we get a lot of questions on, are you concerned about inflationary pressures? Given the gold price is moving nicely, a lot of times that is equal to inflationary pressures, but so far we're not seeing that. And of course, our mine's operating and our the mill's built and everything's built, so we don't have those sort of typical inflationary pressures that you might see with a new startup type of operation. And like I said, one of the major components is transportation, so lower fuel cost is certainly a benefit from us from an operating standpoint. So.
Yeah. But as you pointed out, you got a $40 buffer there. So again, that's music to my ears. So fantastic. Let me ask you this, and I think we'll land the plane with this. So, and maybe we're too early, but I remember we were at a bar here down in Atlanta, having a drink, and you mentioned that you might be looking, and I hope I can say this, that you're open to acquisitions and growing that sort of way. Is that some place that Contango ORE is still looking at for growth, or is it let's work on or get this process down just as much as we can right now, as well as pay off debt in our hedges? Is that more of the focus?
Yeah, I'd say, certainly our focus is delivering the plan, paying off the debt, paying down the debt, and delivering the hedges. That's job number one. And we released our initial assessment, which is the same as a PEA in Canadian parlance, on our Johnson Tract project. And we used, I think, pretty conservative pricing. We used a $2,200 an ounce gold assumption. We used gold equivalent. It's a gold, zinc, copper, silver project, in that order of importance in terms of metal value. So it's a fairly conservative value, and that project has a $224 million NPV, 5%, using 5 years of discountings. Now we're currently doing permitting work on that project, so there's we're not drilling, and it's not active that way. It's active from the moving it through what I call the boring part of the Lassonde curve. But that doesn't mean we're not, not working. So that's going on in the background. We're looking at maybe starting the drills again at Lucky Shot later this year. And so, that's our existing portfolio. And my objective is to grow the companies with the existing portfolio, to grow the company's gold production to 200,000 ounces a year. And that'd be a gold equivalent production level. And I think we can do that at on sustaining cost of, in the $1,200 to $1,400 range, on a gold equivalent basis. The initial assessment talks about $860 per ounce of gold, but that's taking the credits for the other elements. So, if you just look at it on a gold equivalent basis, it'd be more like $1,200. So, if you think about the value of that company producing, gold. Roughly a $2,000 margin, $200,000 ounces at a $2,000 an ounce margin. That's a hell of a valuable company. So that's the target. In the meantime, we're looking at other opportunities. And I'd say the probably the main opportunity we're looking at is acquiring our own mill. And so we've been looking and talking with a number of groups that have existing mills that are not currently milling. And so that's probably our main focus. I'd say secondary to that is there aren't other operations that are producing gold and are in sort of startup mode, if you will. We'll continue to look at those, but I'd say they're not the main event. Kind of have a portfolio of high quality projects that fit the DSO, the direct shipping ore model, and I think we want to stay focused on that. If there's a good opportunity out there that makes sense, we'll certainly take a look at it, but it's not the main event in our book.
Yeah, actually, that's music to my ears too, because I think a lot of times what companies will do is get distracted by a gold shiny object, if you would, and not focus on the tasks they have and what they have. And you do have some great projects there, high grade, great projects that you can get out of the ground and cash flow really quickly, as well as focus on the process that you have and taking the ore to the mill. And just really maximizing the bottom line. So I think that's great for shareholders. Anything else you want to share with the viewers or potential investors here of what they can expect over the next several weeks or a few months going through the summer, Rick?
Yeah, no, I think it's been a steady eddy right now. And in terms of our gold production, we're in the summer months. So our as I said, the Q2campaign is underway. I think we'll probably wrap probably in the middle of June. It always takes another month to get delivery of the gold and sell the gold. It's a bit of a drawn out process, but I think we'll probably be reporting on that and then updating that with Q2 financial result and along with the all-in sustaining cost. I think I think we'll stick to our guidance because that's what we've been given by Kinross, and until they change it, we'll continue with that guidance. But I'm also confident that we're going to produce a little more gold than that guidance, the 15,000 ounce guidance. And I think our costs, again, because of dealing with some of the ice and snow issues and moisture content, and because our fuel prices are looking pretty favorable right now, I think we're going to be in a good spot from an all-in sustaining cost standpoint. Again, we're advancing our Johnson Tract project, but it's permitting, so it's the typical thing there. There was a challenge to the 404 permit that was issued last year by the Center for Biodiversity. So, just a heads up to shareholders. It doesn't cause us any grief right now because we're not planning on doing anything until next year anyway. So it'll and then, again, they're not suing us; they sue the U.S. Our U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for issuing the permit. And as you know, with Manh Choh, we had a similar challenge to the operations there. And as long as there's not an injunction that's put, then it doesn't slow us down at all. So it's just part of the landscape. If you're in the mining business,
you're on mining, it's that. Yeah.
You're going to get sued by somebody. So
yeah.
It comes with the territory, I guess, as they say. But otherwise it's kind of full steam ahead. We'll look to have a series of releases related to our financials and our gold production. But I think the other thing I'll say is we're looking at getting a drill program going on Lucky Shot this year. I'm not sure if it'll be doing an underground or a surface program, but that is something we're taking a hard look at.
Okay, excellent. So there is a lot of things investors just need to be aware to look out for over the next coming months here, really taking us through the end of the year. Rick, and again, to all of my viewers and listeners, I am a shareholder. I want to be very candid and clear about that. I'm a very happy shareholder. Rick and I are very friendly off camera as well, and as well as Contango Ore is a great sponsor of our site, and it's a company that I believe in. Do your own due diligence Rick, give us your website and your stock symbol where you're traded, and I'll put all of this in the show notes below the interview.
That sounds good. We're a New York Stock Exchange, which are referred to as the AMEC or the American Exchange for the more smaller companies. We're part of the Russell 2000. And our trading symbol is CTGO. Our website is contangoore.com. And if you write that out, there's two O's next to each other, which does look a little odd, but that is the correct spelling, and that'll get you to the right place. So with that, I'll say thanks, Andy. Good to see you again. And enjoy Savannah.
Yeah, I will. I just told my viewers and listeners, I'm in Savannah. I was telling Rick off camera, I just on a trip with my lovely wife. Rick, I want to get you down to Atlanta to, you've been here. We've met here before. I'd love to get you down and to all the great investors that this city has to offer. So we'll talk about that soon. Rick, great to see you. Really, I'm looking forward to seeing you again very soon.
Sounds good, Andy. Take care.
Yeah.